22 minutes past 1 o'clock, and I'm joined on the line by Spike from the Scoop offices in Wellington. Hi, Spike.
G'day, Paul.
Office, I should say. You don't really have two, do you, down there?
Well, yeah, they're divided by a door. So
ooh,
you can call it two if you're feeling
moving
grand.
Moving on up.
Yeah.
How's things with you this week, Spike?
Oh, good. Beautiful sunny day and parliamentary fantastic.
Parliamentary fantastic. What's going on with the Māori Party? They've been busy.
They have been
all sorts of stuff.
They have been. And did you hear the most recent news about the National Council?
No.
Oh, a senior party source is all we've got from the National Council, which is 26 reps that are kind of the governing body of the Māori Party. A senior party source has spoken to a Fairfax journalist,
mm-hmm.
and said that there were a group of people in the National Council that were really opposed to the Māori Party supporting the emissions trading scheme, and we're going to try and sway them to vote against it this afternoon.
Really?
In the final vote.
So the final vote's today?
Yeah, most likely this afternoon.
Does the Māori Party allow its members to vote, you know, do conscience votes for each thing? Like, can they cross the floor if they want to?
Well, they put out a press release just recently saying that they're a party of integrity and they're going to stick to the deal that they've arranged with National. So, and on Monday, Sharple said that all five of the party would be voting in unison. I don't think they're going to call this one a conscience vote, that's for sure.
Right, okay. But news today that some senior members in the party are going to try and persuade them to do otherwise.
Well, they're going to try, but it's been pretty quickly jumped on by Sharples and Te Uero Flavel and another member of the National Council.
And
saying that it's nonsense and that I guess that they haven't got the numbers is really the crux of the issue.
Well, okay. Well, it's interesting that they've found themselves wrapped up in this ETS, and they, you know, less than a year ago, they said they didn't even think that was the way to go at all. They favoured a carbon tax.
Yeah, well, listeners might remember they tried to pull their minority report from the emissions trading scheme review
That's
at
right.
the last minute, but didn't quite manage it.
Now they're all about it.
Yeah, well, it's it's causing some internal problems in the party. I mean, the senior party source pointed to the deal, was trying to kind of comparing the deal that the Māori Party had got from National with the implications of this new emissions trading scheme and weighing it up.
Well, as Rod Oram was just saying to me, they've basically just tried to get what's best for the constituents, and I guess, in a sense, Māori possibly do come out better off.
Well, it's piss in the bucket compared to the possible consequences of the trading scheme and not really doing anything meaningful on climate change. You know, like, if Rahui Katani said, when voting for this, ultimately as our mokopuna we must think of as we vote today. And
grandchildren or children.
Grandchildren, yeah. I just thought, you know, if her mokopuna have got any sense, she'll be getting a swift kick in the shins in the next few years, because what they're enabling this revised ETS that is basically designed to do nothing and be damaging at the same time. Because, you know, if they hadn't supported it, then National had two choices. They could have gone to ACT, and ACT would only vote to delay the implementation of Labor's scheme.
Rod also said Labor were prepared to do the same thing.
But Labor had three points that the Nats weren't that keen on. One was quicker phase out of the free allocations and ditching the cap on, putting a cap rather on the intensity-based emissions and changing the date of entry of agriculture. And the Māori Party haven't really asked for any modifications, just a few sweeteners. And I mean, you know, $24 million for community service card insulation, community service card holder housing insulation, I should say. It's not that much. Resolving the Ngāi Treaty palaver, you know, it's all reasonably small beer compared to what they're enabling, I think.
It'll come back to bite them on the bum, do you think?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think that actually for the Māori Party, like financially, it's probably quite good, because, you know, they've really pushed for carbon credits to be allocated to quota holders in fishery and as opposed to the fishing boats. And that makes sense, partly because a lot of the quota is fished by overseas companies, so it keeps them in New Zealand. But it also is great for the various incorporated iwi businesses, and the same with the forestry provisions. So that what they've negotiated is a lot of good deals for the various incorporated iwi businesses. Mm. So I think come funding time, next election, it's going to play out quite well for their coffers.
And for the National Party, probably too. But, you know, we've been talking the emissions trading scheme to death, and rightly so, I should add. Other news for the Māori Party this week?
Hone, back in the house.
The prodigal son.
Yeah. Well, most likely the hui on Sunday will, you know, be the final word, but it looks, I mean, his electorate are pretty keen, by all accounts, for him to stay in the Māori Party. And
Peter Sharpe was all but said so yesterday as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he just has to apologise to New Zealand.
And then not say someone else should be shot straight away afterwards.
But, and that's exactly the point, that's the problem. I mean, there's a nice piece on Scoop today from Gordon Campbell, which touches on Hone's return, and here the troubles begin. Because, for instance, next year, when the tax review committee comes back and perhaps proposes a hike in GST, you know, since Sue Bradford's gone, there's no advocate really left for beneficiaries in the low paid except for Hone Hārāwera. No one who's prepared to, well, has been prepared to speak out on those issues. And so next year, what's he going to do? Mm. You know, when issues like this come up, and, you know, Sharples and Turia and Flavel and Kātene seem quite content to keep their mouths shut, mostly. I mean, is he going to be forced to keep his mouth shut too?
Yeah. I wonder how much of a short leash they'll keep him on if they do let him back in.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. And you know, he's not going to change his spots.
I hope not.
He calls himself a firebrand.
He's quite open about it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I met him and I saw him talk on Peter Sharples' Marae a few years ago, and I don't think he's going to change.
Nah.
And you know what? I hope he doesn't, because he, like I say, since Sue Bradford's gone, you know, he's the only real vocal advocate for beneficiaries and the super low paid in Parliament, as far as I can tell.
And finally, Spike, they've had a victory on the whole flag flying thing.
Yeah, which. You know, it's just a reminder of what you can do if the political climate changes a bit. I mean,
you just said climate change.
Oh God! Whoops. I promised we wouldn't go back there. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah, the urgency is getting to me.
So can you? Yeah, just a few quick details about that one.
Well,
kind of passed me by actually.
Key said after okay, so jumping back a bit, there was. People wanted to, was it, I think, Ngāti Whātua maybe, or local iwi wanted to fly a flag over the Auckland Bridge.
Yeah.
And Transit said no. And this kind of sparked the debate about whether there could be another national flag and whether it could be flown on Waitangi Day at Waitangi. And so John Key said go away and consult with various iwi and see if you can get a consensus on a flag. And the only real competition for the flag that most people know of as the Māori flag, the Tino Rangatiratanga flag, whatever you want to call it, the one with the big red koru in the middle, was the United Tribes flag from Northland, which was strongly supported by quite a large minority of people, especially in that area. And talked about the independence. It was the independence flag, the 1835 flag. But they went away and talked to people, and I think about 80% came back and said they wanted the Tino Rangatiratanga flag, or the Māori.
It's a good flag.
It's a cool flag.
Yeah.
It's a pretty flag, and it looks like not this Waitangi Day, but next it'll be flying above Premier House and at Waitangi.
And if Peter Dunne gets his way, it'll be called New Zealand Day. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no comment.
Well, thanks very much for a bit of a spotlight on the Māori Party today, Spike.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
Kia ora.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
And you too. And I guess we'll be hearing all about this awesome new scheme we've got next week.
Oh, and another thing to watch for. Urgency continues. It looks like the other tasty piece of legislation they're going to pass is the privatisation of prisons bill.
Oh, I slipped that one in there, did I?
Keep an ear out for that. Cool. And I recommend listeners to tune into Parliament TV. It's
riveting.
Shits and giggles.